Tonight we're on chapter 3 of the Holy Spirit. We talked about who Father God is. How many of you have been taking time to pray to God? That's a good sign. It means you're going to heaven, possibly. No. How many of you have been spending time with Jesus? Amen. And tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, what an amazing topic, because remember we talked about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet?
One.
Come on, that's called the triunity of the Godhead. But we want to talk about who is the Holy Spirit tonight, because you need to know the Holy Spirit. I would encourage everyone to buy a book. The book is called Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Can you write that down?
And listen to that.
You listen to it? So it's an audible? You can buy it on Audible as well. Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Yes.
It's also on YouTube for free.
Oh, it's on YouTube for free.
Yep.
Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I would encourage everybody to listen to that. Why is that? Because there's a need and a necessity to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain why as we're continuing in this chapter. You know, I remember as a child, we would sing about the Holy Spirit. We would invite the Holy Spirit. But no one ever taught us who the Holy Spirit was. So what happened was we were absolutely confused. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people talk about him as a thing, a moving force, or, you know, he's almost like an inanimate object. But he's not. He's absolutely God. So there's a need to know who the Holy Spirit is. And I'll explain why again, like I said, in a little bit. So who is the Holy Spirit in reference to us today? Well, we know God the Father. Everybody say God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. They are three. Yet one. Very good. That's the triunity of the Godhead. We're going to be getting into that next week. But the Holy Spirit, we know that God worked with mankind on this earth while Adam and Eve were working in the garden. After the fall of man, we know that God the Father brought in the law. That is Exodus chapter 20. We know that God the Father worked with mankind all the way up until Jesus Christ came and died, or just came on the earth. When Christ came, there was a shift. We see this in the book of Matthew chapter 28, where God said, or Jesus said, he has given me all authority on earth. Well, that's that passing of the baton. That is that spiritual authority that has been passed from God the Father to God the Son. So in the old covenant, we had God the Father working with mankind on this planet. But in the time of Christ, God the Son was now God working with mankind on the earth. When Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, where did he go after he rose from the dead? To where?
Heaven.
Where did he go?
The right hand of God.
Where did Jesus go after he rose from the dead?
Oh, he rose on the earth 40 days.
That is true too. Where did he go though when he's finally set in heaven?
To his Father?
Right. Yep.
Right.
What's that?
Right.
I know I'm waiting for more people to say that out loud. The right hand of the Father. Turn to someone and say, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
That means he's not here. Jesus is not in your heart. You ever heard anybody say that? I want Jesus in my heart. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit. When Christ died and rose from the dead, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He then sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God working with man here on this earth. That's not going to work. I don't know if I like this setup. Do you guys like this setup or not?
No.
You love it? We're going to change it next week. Don't tell Kenny, okay? We'll change it. I'm going to come in early and change it. So here we have the Holy Spirit is God working here on earth with us right now. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And then he wrote about who the Holy Spirit is and what he was going to do in our lives. So God working on the planet right now is God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus isn't here on earth. Now Jesus will come, meet people, talk with people, reveal himself. But on the earth, working in the Godhead, is God the Holy Spirit. That's why there's a necessity to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is why, as a child, like I said, we sang about him, we invited him, but nobody talked with him. Nobody communicated with the Holy Spirit. Nobody had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It was almost like he was just a tool that people would talk about, but no one understood. The Holy Spirit is God, and he's here to do specific work inside of us. The Bible says that when you become born again, that literally the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Thank you. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So if you'll turn to someone and say, I am possessed.
I am possessed.
Whoa, come on now. First thing we talk about when we talk about people being possessed is heads spinning around. We think about demon possession and you know, all that good stuff. But remember, the devil has only ever come to counterfeit what God's plan is. And what the plan of God was, is to live inside of us. When Jesus was on this planet, how many Jesuses were on earth?
One.
Because Jesus ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside of you, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Because he is God who now dwells inside of you, now we have the very personality of God: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit or personality of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, literally, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Literally, what we're doing now, because Jesus is ascended on high, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. Now, literally, we can be governed in him we live and move and have our being. Literally, the Holy Spirit will work through you. God will walk through you. He'll speak through you. He'll encourage and strengthen you so that literally, how many now Christ are on the planet? Now, you and I aren't Jesus, but the Spirit of God that was in Jesus is now living inside of us. So how many of us can walk in the same power that Jesus walked? All of us. The Bible says, Jesus declared in John chapter 14, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. How is that possible? Because of the Holy Spirit who dwelled inside of Jesus, now dwells inside of every one of us. So now how many Christs are walking on the planet? We are walking with the Holy Spirit. He is manifesting Christ through us. Therefore, it's not one walking on the planet, but the Holy Spirit working through every one of us. So the power of God is that God branched out and now is duplicating himself by dwelling inside of the body of Christ. You and I are powerful people, and the necessity for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is gives us the ability to hear his voice, to allow him to direct us, and also to use our lives. Amen?
Amen?
The job of the Holy Spirit, we find in John chapter 16, verse 14, and he says this, he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So what I love about that is the Holy Spirit wants to direct you. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. So when we're talking about I'm being directed by God, what we're actually saying is God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of me, is now directing my life. He's now guiding my life. He's now showing me. This is why it's so powerful when we recognize that if God literally dwells in us, according to the scripture, that when we say bad things, who are we participating with? When we go to the wrong places, who are we taking with us? Huh? When you're going out and getting drunk, who are you getting drunk with?
I haven't done that in a long time.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When you're going out having premarital sex, if you're saved, well, that probably is a question there. Who are you bringing into participation with your sin? See, this is the philosophy of mankind, is that, well, that's a nice little thing that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. No, but it's not a figurative, it's a literal. Literally, you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. The Bible says you went from death to life, that literally God possesses your spirit. This means, as a trichotomous being, that you are now alive in Christ and dead to sin. We are powerful people, and this is what the devil does not want us to know. He wants us to think that we're religious, that we're good religious people doing nice religious things. But that's not true at all. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God and literally have God himself dwelling inside of us, literally, not figuratively, and wherever we go, he goes with. When we understand this, it changes how we walk. It changes how we talk. It's amazing when you realize, if you have somebody, let's just say you bring your mother to the bar. You're not probably taking a girl home or a guy home. Is that true? Let me ask you a question. If you got your mother with you, you're probably not taking her to the bar. Well, maybe some of your mothers, but we won't talk about that. It's a whole nother story. If Jesus physically was on this planet, would you be speaking the same way that you speak? Would you be doing the same things you're doing? Would you, come on now, I'm talking like literally. If Jesus Christ was standing right here, right now, by the way, we'd have more people in this room. But that is the issue, is that the body of Christ does not take literal what the Word of God is saying. We've made it a good philosophy, but we haven't made it a reality to us. The same Holy Spirit that dwelled inside of Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to do the mighty works that he did, opening blind eyes, healing the sick, casting out devils, that same Holy Spirit literally dwells inside of you. Wherever you go when you're born again, God is going with you. Whatever you say, God is dwelling inside of you. It's a reality check that we have to have, because many of us don't fear the Lord. We just kind of live a Christian life because we don't want to go to hell. But that's not what this is about at all. This is about us learning who he is and walking in his ways and having a relationship, because all of this is about relationship, not about religion. Amen. So knowing the Holy Spirit, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is so powerfully important. Because if he is God dwelling inside of us, who brings the message from the Father? If he is God dwelling inside of us, who brings the message from the Father? The Holy Spirit. He's the one speaking to you. He's the one guiding you. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So if the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, who is guiding us? The Holy Spirit. From where? From heaven? No, from inside. That's the learning of understanding who he is. That's why the relationship with the Holy Spirit is so powerful and so important. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're ignoring the one who's guiding you. You're ignoring the one who's bringing the message from the Father to you. You're ignoring conviction. You're waiting for it to come from where it's not. It's coming from inside. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And so this relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that's what I love about that book. The first thing he tells you to do when you get up in the morning is turn over and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Well, who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. You're actually saying, "Good morning, God. Good morning, Father." Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there are three yet.
One.
And the Spirit of God is God, the Godhead working with mankind right here on this earth right now. So there's a need and a necessity for us to come to this reality that when you get up in the morning, the very first thing you talk to, the very first person you talk to is the Holy Spirit. In fact, I love Brother Kenneth Hagin. And Brother Kenneth Hagin said, "Listen, I'd encourage everyone not to speak in English for the first 10 minutes of their morning, but only speak in other tongues." Why is that? Well, we know according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when you pray in the Spirit, your mind might be unfruitful, but it's spirit to spirit. So I always encourage people that what the very first thing you should do when you get up in the morning, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," and then pray in tongues for 10 minutes. What you're doing is you're connecting your spirit man and heaven. It is the activation. Well, for some of you who don't know, the very first thing you should do in the morning is not drink a cup of coffee. First thing you should do is drink some water. Because while you've been sleeping, your digestive system has shut down. There's really no need for it to be active the way it is. And so when you drink water, it actually activates, reactivates, and pushes out the toxins out of your body. Very first thing you should do in the morning is have a glass of water. Then have your cup of coffee. Yes?
You're actually supposed to drink ice water when you first wake up because it activates your metabolism.
And it activates your metabolism. So it's important. The very first thing you should do in the morning to activate your spirit, man, is... Good morning, Holy Spirit. And then start praying in tongues. I had an individual who was dealing with severe depression, and they had gone to counselors for 11 years. 11 years. Can you imagine how much money they paid over 11 years? A lot of money. They came to me and said, listen, I've just been depressed. There's no way out of this. I can't get out of it. I said, this is what I want you to do. In the morning, I do not want you to talk to anybody. I don't want you to talk to your kids. I don't want to talk to your husband. When you get up in the morning, the very first thing I want you to do is just pray in tongues for 10 minutes. That's exactly what she did. And she said in less than a month, her depression left. Why is that? Because immediately when she got up in the morning, the very first thing she did was activate her spirit. And the Spirit of God is God. And the Spirit of God, when he is activated in your life, he not only touches your spirit man in the essence of encouragement and strengthening and building, but also in healing, not only healing in your physical body, but also healing in your soulish man. So she activated the Spirit of God to bring restoration and bring healing and to allow God to do what he's been called to do. Jesus said that he sent his word to heal us in Psalms 107. You know, it's time to recognize that the more you recognize who the Holy Spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, you're going to have great success. So what does the Holy Spirit do in my life on a daily basis? Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. John 14:17, and the spirit in truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Isn't that amazing when you really think about that? You are the temple of God. He does not dwell in a building made with hands. He dwells in mankind. Literally, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are housing God in your spirit man. So what does he do? Well, we know without any question that he speaks to us and guides us. We talked about the only ones in the old covenant that actually were directed or heard the voice of God were the kings, the priests, and the prophets. But in the New Testament, because of the Holy Spirit, you and I get to talk with him. You and I get a relationship. Every single person, not just the kings, prophets, and priests, get to have a relationship with God himself. Amen. I love that, don't you? Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a thing. He is not a moving force. The Holy Spirit is God, and he has a personality and a personage. And this is where our shift has to come. Because many of us have been taught over the years, he's just an it. Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, we need you. Come sweet Spirit, I pray. But when he gets there, what are you going to do with him? I mean, when you know him, you recognize that God has character and personality. This is what I teach our staff at his tabernacle is simply this. Is on Sunday morning, it's not just standing up and singing a few songs. It's asking the Holy Spirit what his flavor is for the day. What do you want to do? Holy Spirit, and you've heard me say it from the pulpit, Spirit of God, do whatever you want today. Why do I do that? Because he's real. He's got a design already made for the services. He has certain people that specifically need something from him. And that day, if I took over, The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. If I take over, then what ends up happening is then the Holy Spirit has no way to do and release his power to set man free. This is why the churches that don't give the Holy Spirit time and opportunity, they literally cheat and steal from the body of Christ. Why? Because it's not the pastor who's the showman here. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's not about the preacher. It's not about, oh boy, the band sounded good today. You know what? You could grab a banjo and play and have a Holy Ghost move. Amen. Why? Because whatever he wants to do, if you give him the opportunity, he'll move to change lives. In our church, you've seen his personality to where maybe on a Sunday, it's just a shouting Sunday where, man, everyone just fired right up and people are shouting around the altar and God is bringing great victory in people's lives. Other times, you've heard that still small. Come on now. It's almost like a blanket that comes upon the congregation and everybody goes quiet. And man, you could hear a pin drop in the middle of the sanctuary. How is that possible? Because it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every one of us. And when we're sensitive to what he's doing, we'll all move the same. Amen. I remember one time when I was learning who the Holy Spirit is and learning how to listen to him. I remember I was in a sanctuary and there was an evangelist there and he walked over and he says, let me teach you some things about how the Holy Spirit wants to move. And I said, sure. You know, I didn't really know. I didn't understand what he was talking about. But he said, as things are starting to happen, you know, people were laughing in the spirit and God was moving on their lives. And it was an exciting season, an exciting time. And he looked at me and he says, now watch, within the next 5 minutes, everything is going to go dead quiet and you'll not hear a person's voice. You'll hear nothing. It will just be dead quiet. Now, I watched him because he didn't do anything. He wasn't sitting up and saying, everybody be quiet, please. Let the Holy Spirit. No. All of a sudden, it was just like a blanket. Shoo, and the whole place went dead quiet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has a design. He's real. He's not fake. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not a concept. He's not a perception. He is truly 100% God, and he dwells inside of us. And if we will listen to him, then he will direct us. And if we listen to him as a body, the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me is dwelling inside of you. The same Holy Spirit that's in Jimmy Swagger is in you. The same Holy Spirit that is in Benny Hinn is in you. The same Holy Spirit that is in, we can go, T.D. Jakes is in you. It's the same Holy Spirit. And if we listen to him, he will direct our path. And he wants to talk to us. But if we don't know him, how are you going to know his voice? If you don't listen to him, you ever been around somebody? Man, they're great people, but they never shut up. Can I hear an amen or am I?
Amen.
You can have an entire 3-hour session with them and you went like this the whole time. Because every time you went, they cut you off.
Smile and nod.
Smile and nod. They never stop talking. How many of you enjoy those kind of relationships? Well, that must be you, right? Okay. It's almost like really irritating. You know, you want to add to the conversation because the conversation is supposed to be two ways. Isn't it amazing because so many people don't know the Holy Spirit, don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When they pray, they never shut up. It's not a two-way conversation. It's a one-way conversation. If the Holy Spirit wants to say something to us, many people don't even know what his voice sounds like. We don't know how to be led by the Spirit because we don't listen to the Spirit. We do all the talking. You know, there's a time where you just got to sit and be quiet and listen to him. You shut your brain down and say, listen now, I'm done listening to the flesh. Spirit of God, I need to hear from you. I need you to speak to my heart. I need you to direct my life. I need to hear a message from you. I need to hear your heart. You know, when I preach on a Sunday morning, I'm not sitting there thumbing through a book and going, boy, I wonder what so-and-so preached. Maybe I can just copy their message. Literally, We're getting ready to launch the new theme for 2019. I didn't say, hey guys, what do you, I didn't go to all my preacher buddies and say, so what do you think your, what do you think my theme should be? I went and I spent time with Jesus and I said, Lord, where do you want to take His Tabernacle Family Church in 2019? Where do you want to take this entire body as one to a place that we need to be to fulfill the vision that you placed within my heart? God, where, what do you want to say? And I'm listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. And all of a sudden, where was I? I think I was walking through an airport and the Spirit of God said, I want you to tell him this. And I went, that is stinking cool. I get out my phone. I'm writing notes down because I'm listening to him. And all of a sudden I said, gotcha. That's exactly what you want. The other day I met with our SWAT team and wait till you see the very first Sunday of January, the prop that's going to be. It is massive. It is huge. And it is going to be awesome. You definitely don't want to miss the first Sunday of January. I know where he wants to take it for the next 4 months. I know what he wants to say to us as a congregation for the next 4 months. How do I know that? Because I've learned his voice. I've learned how to listen to him. I've learned how he wants me directed. You know, the other day, it was really funny because I was talking to somebody and I just felt the Holy Spirit just start speaking through me. You ever had that happen where, you know, you're talking for a while and then you just realize, where did that come from? And I started talking to this couple, and I didn't know some things that all of a sudden I started talking about. And I didn't know why I was talking about these things, but I started dropping information and saying, well, this is what happens with this, and this is what happens. Later on, I found out why that was said, because it fit their life, and I had no clue. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through your life. The more you know his voice, the more you know him, the more he can use you. And let me tell you something, there's nothing more exciting than having God speak through you. There's nothing more exciting than having God encourage somebody, strengthen somebody, and even bring conviction to somebody. There's nothing more exciting to realize you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says this, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So here's Philip. There's the Ethiopian eunuch going by, and the Spirit of God says, Holy Spirit says, come on now. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, where's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of Philip? I just gave the answer.
Inside.
Said, go overtake that chariot. What doesn't even make sense? Go overtake that chariot. So he chased down the chariot where the Ethiopian eunuch was, and there's the eunuch reading the Bible, and he says, do you need help interpreting that? He climbs in, interprets it, the man gets saved, the man gets baptized in water, watch this, and then Philip is standing there, and boom, he's taken away 20 miles. Star Trek has nothing on Jesus. Who moved Philip from here to 20 miles away? The Holy Spirit. Who told Philip? You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. But many times as the body of Christ, we've not been taught to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That means at times you just got to simply be quiet. Usually when I'm up on the pulpit, I'll just stand there and I'll say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Anything you want to do, it's yours. I'll step back. You can just do worship the whole time, or you can just, I'll step right up there and just start moving in the gifts of the, as you speak to me. You know, we'll see people healed and set free and whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, I'll do whatever you want. This is your church. And I'm always giving him that option because again, the moment that the church stops being led by the Holy Spirit, then it's governed by man. And listen, we don't need another man church. We need God church. Amen.
Amen.
We need the Spirit of God who brings change in lives to move in our life. Here we go. Let's show you another one where the Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 10, 19 and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Holy Spirit told Peter, listen, you got guys coming, and they're down at the door now. Just go on down and go meet their need. That's the Spirit of God. He will actually talk. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit talk to you where you weren't sure if it was audible or it was just in your spirit, man? My uncle was actually called into the ministry. Uncle Howard was called into the ministry by the audible voice of God, by the Holy Spirit. He said it scared the bejeebies out of him. He asked him never to do it again. Don't talk to me that way. I've had times when the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart and I literally turned. Because I wasn't sure if it was so audible or just in my spirit. It was just so loud. When you start asking him, he will speak to you. When you start talking with him, he'll talk back to you if you'll be quiet. Because he, not it, he is God moving on this earth at this moment of time, and he dwells inside of you. And he wants to speak to your heart. Some of you have never heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you need to start asking him. God, Holy Spirit, I just need you to speak to my heart. I need you to speak to me. Let me tell you, it might be through a vision. It might be through a dream. It might be through me preaching to you. It might be through all of a sudden a prophetic word coming to you. Or it might be that still small voice of the Holy Spirit where he just whispers to your heart and it's like you can't deny you just heard the voice of heaven. No matter how it works, you need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said. So the Holy Spirit not only speaks to us, the Holy Spirit teaches us. I love this because he loves to direct you. You ever just sat back and, you know, you're getting ready to tell somebody something. You heard a verse a few times, but it's not like you sat there and memorized it. But all of a sudden, somebody asks you a question and boom, that verse comes alive to you and you're able to share it with somebody. That is the Holy Spirit who taught you and now is speaking through you. See, we make this all spooky. It's not spooky. This is normal life. If he dwells inside of you, this is normal life. This is something we need to get used to. We build up our physical bodies. Now we need to build up our spiritual bodies. The Bible says physical exercise profiteth little. Didn't say it didn't profit much, any. Amen. Physical exercise profiteth little. But we need to learn how to exercise our spirit. Because he dwells in us and he wants to speak to you. And he wants to teach you. And the Bible says he'll bring to remembrance. I remember in Bible school, I know I've given the example, but I remember in Bible school, I had an exam in what was called personal evangelism class. We had to memorize 100 verses, King James Version. Wow. Jesus help us all. Every jot and every tittle. I'm talking like every period, every comma, that was all being on the exam. And she was tough. She was a tough teacher. I remember staying up, man, I stayed up more than one night, memorizing. And it finally came to the place where it was the night before the exam. And at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I asked my friend, my roommate, to quiz me. And he starts quizzing me and all the verses are all messed up in my head. You know, he asked me this one and I'm quoting this one. And then I mixed two of them together and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm doomed. But I remembered this verse. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all those things which Jesus has taught. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to bed. And my roommate said, that's probably not the smartest thing you should do. I said, no, I've studied for days on this. I know these verses. I just can't seem to get them together. And I said, I'm going to bed because it's the Holy Spirit's job to give me the information, bring to remembrance all those things which he taught. Now listen. I've had people say to me, I'm just going to rely on the Holy Spirit, but you never studied anything. I'm sorry, you failed. So here I am. I go to class, and I literally, when I sat down, this is what I said. Spirit of God, you know I've been faithful. It's your job to bring to remembrance all those things which I was taught. So I need you to help me with this exam. And I got a 98 on that exam, 100 verses. What's that? That is considered cheating. Listen now, you got the Holy Spirit dwelling. You got God dwelling inside of you. You got the inside traitor. Amen. No, really. I was first time I ever invested was when Corning dropped to $1.28. And I wanted a new Harley Davidson. I wanted a Harley Davidson. I never had one before. And I said, I want a Harley. And so I prayed, Father, I want a Harley. And I sowed money. And the Spirit of God says, go invest some money into Corning. And he told me how much. And he said, I'll bless you. I says, okay. I went and talked to two other guys that were good investors. And I said, yeah, I'm going to invest this much in Corning. And they said, you are stupid because it is going to tank. And I said, I don't know, man. The Spirit of God spoke to me. Well, you better listen again. And so I invested the money. And after a period of time, I sold out over $9 per share. And I bought a Harley Davidson. It's so funny. One guy said, oh, I can't come to this church. You own a Harley. And I said, you own a Harley. But what he didn't know is who got me the Harley. Because he taught me how to invest so I could get what I wanted. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll teach you your job. Some of you struggled with the things that you got to learn at your workplace. Don't worry about that. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He'll teach you. He'll move you faster. That way you can get greater raises. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He'll teach you all things. I love that. John chapter 14, 16 through 17, and I pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Bible also says that the Spirit of God guides you. John chapter 16, 12 and 13, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, if I shout he, that wasn't everybody. Shout he. Whenever he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he is, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So right there, the verse is showing that whatever Jesus wants for your life is going to come through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So how many of you want to hear what Jesus says? Well, then you better get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit come from? He dwells right inside of you, in your spirit man. He wants to speak to your heart. The Bible says, I got to remember what the verse is. Maybe somebody can look it up while I'm saying it. It's he wasn't in the earthquake and he wasn't in the thunder, but he was the still small voice. Most of the time when you hear the Holy Spirit, it's not rawr. Most of the time when you hear the Holy Spirit, it's that just a still, small voice. Some people say, well, that's your subconscious man. No. The Spirit of God overrides your subconscious man. He'll speak to your heart. Listen to him. He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to guide you. He'll guide you into all truth. There's times when things, you've got decisions in your life you've got to make with your family. You've got decisions you've got to make at work. You've got decisions you've got to make in your life. And man, you're not sure what to do. And let me tell you, you've got God who brooded over the earth at creation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 talks about the Holy Spirit. He's over the earth at creation. Where is the Holy Spirit now? He's inside of you. This is God who knows your end from your beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Man, you got God dwelling in you. How can you fail if the truth is guiding you?
Amen.
I tell you, that's the inside traitor. And that's where when you learn his voice, you don't have to make as many mistakes as you make.
Amen.
How many of you have made some stupid mistakes? How many of you ever overrode the voice of the Holy Spirit that, and you did it, and it was like, stupid. Stupid.
Just like that.
Stupid. Sometimes you hear me go, stupid idiot. I'm not talking to anybody but myself. I knew better. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he was trying to guide me, and I ignored him. Ignoring the Holy Spirit is really dumb.
Amen.
It really is. It's dumb to ignore the Holy Spirit. Well, why do you think the Holy Spirit's guiding you? Because he doesn't want you to fall into a pit. He doesn't want you to have problems in your life. He wants to give and let you live inside of peace and joy. He wants you to be successful at work. He wants you to be an example that people are, they just look and say, that is an exemplary person. I want to be like them. He wants to say, listen, see that person over there at work? Man, you know, they're smiling all the time. But on break, I want you to go tell them that you're praying for them. And what you didn't know was they just had a catastrophe in their family. And man, God just sent you to them to encourage them. Nobody else even knows but God. Where does he dwell? It is so cool to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can stop people from making dangerous decisions. Acts 16, 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So here the Holy Spirit will actually tell you, stop, don't go there. I had a friend of mine was driving up the road one day, and he was an evangelist, and he's driving, and the Holy Spirit told him, pull over, get a tape, cassette tape, out of your trunk and put it in your car. And the guy said to the Holy Spirit, but I'm listening to a preacher, and I've got tapes right here. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you to pull over, stop, get in the trunk, get a cassette, and put it in. He pulled over, obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, got in his trunk, got a tape, put it in. The road that he was on was going straight up, and then there was a crescent, and then it went down over the other side. When he got to the top, there was a head-on car accident. And the timing would have been him if he hadn't pulled over, got out of his car, got the cassette tape, and put it in. The Holy Spirit will protect you. I remember one time I was camping with my boys. And this is when Pastor Chad wasn't following the Lord well. All right, not at all. And We've been on this camping trip probably since they were four. So I think he was like 14. And the Spirit of God, I'm driving down the road, and the Spirit of God says, tell him not to use the hatchet this weekend because he'll cut his finger off if he does. And I looked at him and I said, now remember, he's not following the Lord at all. And I said, listen, the Holy Spirit says you can't use the hatchet this weekend because you're going to cut your finger off. You know what? He might not have been following the Lord, but he didn't use that hatchet all weekend. Because he knows Daddy knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. Just saved his finger. Well, I don't know. You kind of just thought that. I don't think so. I know that saved his finger. This is where it's so important that we listen to him, because he will keep you safe. He will tell you where to go, how to go, what to do. He'll make sure that you don't get hurt by yourself or by the enemy. He'll protect you if you'll allow him to speak. This is why we must know his voice. We must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He loves us desperately, and his job is to keep us safe, mainly from sin. Can I hear an amen? For the wages of sin is death. This is why the Holy Spirit's job is interceding for you. He's praying for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Literally, the Spirit of God's praying for you. Now listen. Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet?
One.
So the Holy Spirit's God. Can God pray anything that God the Father won't agree with? Well, no. So if the Holy Spirit's praying for you, you know that answer is secure. You need to know that he's praying to keep you safe. He's asking the Father to bless you. He's asking the Father to keep you from sin. The only time we step out and into sin, come on now, The only time we step into places of danger is when we stop listening to him and we do our own thing. Again, this is the verse. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the more you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the safer you will be, the happier you will be, the more blessed you will be, the less sin you'll have. Come on now. All of this is the power and the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Spirit can agree. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Bible says that he's going to bear witness with your spirit that he is one. That means when you get saved, you don't have to go, oh, boy, I wonder if it really worked. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are one with God. There's a change and a shift in your life. It's not religion. This is real. Literally, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You become a possessed individual. And until we allow this to really make, to allow it to go from head knowledge or religious understanding and simple lack of understanding, that we allow this to truly become alive to us, we do walk different. When we realize that the Holy Spirit is absolutely, when we give him control, will protect us, will guide us, will bless us, will posture us, will teach us, will speak to us. Man, I tell you, there's no greater friend you can have than the Holy Spirit in your life. And I don't know about you, but baby, I want to know his voice better. You know, I want to get to the place where he goes, hey, you. God, hey, you stupid.
Hello.
Hey, I'm telling you, don't do that. We should know his voice so clear that he goes, hey, don't do that. Okay. And when you do that, man, you start posturing yourself for success. How many want to be successful? How many want to be failures? The Spirit of God has a mind and he thinks. John 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Where's the Holy Spirit? Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Who is the mind of Christ? The Spirit of God. Who's your mind? The Holy Spirit. That means you can start thinking like God thinks. Problems come in your life. A mountain comes in your life. Immediately you start to think. The Bible says, let our minds be renewed, transformed by the word of God. The Spirit and the word always agree. So the more you allow the Holy Spirit to rule your life, the more you allow in him we live and move and have our being, the more you allow him to guide you, direct you, to speak to you, the more you allow him to move and to be not a quiet backseat passenger, but literally the front seat individual in your life, the more you're going to find that even in your heart right now, you're going to start thinking like God. All of a sudden, an impossibility comes in your life, and you're not sitting back and going, boy, I hope this works. But faith will arise because you know God. Danielle's husband had a tumor. Where was it?
He had a cyst in his kidney.
He had a cyst in his kidney, and the doctors assumed it was most likely cancerous. And so what happened was he came, and I prayed for him. And he came back, and the cyst was on the pictures. Now the cyst is gone. And people said, wow, that's really cool. And I went, well, no, it's kind of normal, right? Isn't that normal?
The ultrasound lady looked at me funny when I said, no, that's because Jesus healed him. And we got confirmation the following Monday that Jesus indeed did heal him.
Isn't that cool? But why are you shocked? Jesus said, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So when you lay hands on the sick and the anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit live? It says, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So when you lay hands on somebody, why are you shocked when they're healed? Because the Holy Spirit is working through you. Amen. See, this is the norm of being a believer. This is the exciting part about being a believer. This is not about a religious, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. And oh my goodness, you know. This is like the Spirit of God guiding us into all truth. The Spirit of God protecting us. The Spirit of God speaking to us. The Spirit of God using us. The Spirit of God saying, listen, this is how you're supposed to think. Think like God. If we think like God, there is nothing that we can't believe for. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask.
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing impossible for God. So when you start allowing the Holy Spirit even to transform your mind, when an impossibility comes, it's not like, oh no, it's like, yeah, hey, this is the way it is. I know what's going to happen because I'm thinking like God, because who's dwelling inside of me? The Holy Spirit. And I'm going to let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, by the way, I have the mind of Christ, the Word of God declares. So now I don't look at it as impossibility. I look at it just like Jesus did. Eh, no big deal.
True God.
It's a relationship. And this is the awesome part about who we are in Christ. This is the sad part about most people's understanding. Most churches who don't teach anything like this. The problem that I find is that the people live substandard in their relationship with Jesus. And it's not that they don't want to know. They don't know. You only know what you're taught. And so we've got to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves. Of course, he has to, for God is love. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of the Spirit, that you will strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Spirit of God makes decisions and exercises his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. The Spirit of God comforts and counsels us. I remember one time when I was in Bible school, I was going through some really bad girl problems. And I remember going to the third floor of the Bible college dorm at midnight, sitting down in the corner and going, listen, I'm here for a counseling session. Because I needed him to counsel me. Man, I was getting messed up in the head.
Drive Horse Heads, New York.
Well, thank you. I was lost, but now I'm found. Siri found me. He's not as good as the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. How many of you have been in a situation? I was in a situation just the other day, and I'd been praying, and my spirit was there was an agitation. Anybody have been agitated in your spirit? I was just agitated in my spirit. And I really didn't. I mean, I've been praying. I prayed about this for a while. And I wasn't sure what to do or how to, you know. And all of a sudden, a peace came on me. I went, oh, cool. We're good. And I don't know what he did to shift things. But the Spirit's job is to bring comfort in your life. In fact, that's what Jesus said his job is. He's the comforter. Anybody ever been cold before?
Yeah. Can't relate.
No, some people just are heaters. You've been cold and maybe cold to the bone. When I came back, not this time, but the last time from, actually, yeah, this was bad. But the one before that, when I rode my Harley from Florida home, I rode, it was in the 30s with snow. And I got cold to the bone. You ever been so cold to the bone that, listen, I even got home and I took a hot tub. And usually that would pull me out, and it did not pull me out. But let me tell you, I went and grabbed the comforter off the bed, and I wrapped up in that thing. And man, I just laid there. And I was like, yeah, no, this is it right here. This is good. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to wrap you up. So no matter what's happening outside, you're still warm and cozy and taken care of. Amen? Amen? He's awesome. You need to know him, by the way. You need to talk with him, by the way. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, I just ask tonight in Jesus' name that, Lord, we'll all get to know you, that you'll start revealing yourself to us. You'll start directing us. I just love him. He's so cool. Has anybody ever had a situation where you couldn't figure something out? And you just talk to him. Anybody ever lost your keys before? And you ask the Holy Spirit, will you please help me? Seriously, man. I mean, I remember one time Brother Ted was prophesying over an individual. And he looked at them and said, oh, by the way, the Spirit of God just showed me you have a business plan that you put together and it's time to release that. But you lost it. You can't find it. Listen, you wrote it on your desk. You know, your desk over there in the corner where that has a light over here on the left hand side. When you wrote that, what you didn't realize is when you stepped away, it slid off the top of the desk and now is in the back on the right hand side in back. But pull the desk out. And you'll find your business plan right there. How do you think Brother Ted knew that? Well, the Spirit of God knew that. If he'll do that for Brother Ted, he'll do that for you. There are many times I've said, seriously, God, now I don't lose my keys. My wife loses her keys. There's only two things my wife loses: keys and coffee. She'll get up in the morning and she'll walk and she can't find her coffee. Where'd my coffee go? Where'd my coffee go? By the time she finds her coffee, it's cold. But man, when you really have a relationship with him, those things aren't big for him. And you know what a lot of people don't realize is that he wants to be that intimately involved in your life that if you lost your keys, he wants to help you find them. Why? Because you know you've lost your peace. Some of you cussed. Just kidding. Where's my... But if you'll ask the Holy Spirit instead of cussing, maybe saying his name in vain, he'll actually show you where those keys are.
He's helped me a lot.
He helped you a lot?
He helped me a lot.
He helps you a lot.
Rebuild a little fire barrier, get one of them little springs, it goes pew.
he's saying rebuilding a carburetor, all of a sudden one of those springs goes pew.
Please help me find it.
I mean, the Holy Spirit helps me with that all the time too. He says, here's Dave's phone number. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural baptizer. Man, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. Listen, this is not about religion. This is a whole nother level in your relationship with him. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to speak with other tongues. Will I get to heaven quicker? Well, no. But what you will do is you'll know his voice better. You'll actually be used for him to pray through you what you don't even know what you're praying for. You'll be praying your future by praying in tongues as the Spirit is speaking through you. I mean, it's awesome. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, but John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now from now. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He gives the supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. He wants to use you in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 3 knowledge gifts. What are they? The word of?
Knowledge.
Word of?
Wisdom.
Word discerning of?
Spirit.
I've always messed that one up, haven't I? Come on now. There are 3 knowledge gifts. The word of knowledge. The word of wisdom. The discerning of spirits. There are 3 verbal gifts. Tongues. The interpretation of tongues. And prophecy. And there are 3 power gifts. The gifts of healing. The working of miracles. And the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit's the one who distributes them. So this is why some of you don't move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not that the gifts aren't there, because if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, how many of you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you? How many of the gifts you have?
All of them.
So, but you're never used in them. Well, why are you not used in them? Because you're not listening to him. You're waiting for somebody else to show up and do the thing. And God is saying, no. And you see that person that's sick over there at work? Wait till break. Wait till break and I want you to go pray for them. I'll heal them. I love praying for people. I've never had anybody turn away prayer. I've had many people turn away Jesus, but they won't turn around prayer. But what's amazing is if you pray for them and the Holy Spirit heals them, How can they turn away from Jesus?
Right. Amen.
But if you never pray for them, then what's going to happen to them? Well, who knows? See, this is where you and I, the Spirit of God, wants to use us. The Spirit is the one who brings conviction. Everybody shout, I love conviction! Liars. John chapter 16, 8 through 9, he comes. Who's he? The Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, he is a he.
He is a he.
Not an it.
Not a thing.
He is God.
He
dwells in me. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Conviction is your friend. What is that conviction thing? Conviction is where the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and all of a sudden you're getting ready to do a sin, and the Spirit of God says, whoop, no.
What you doing?
Yeah, what you doing? You feel that nasty feeling, that ucky feeling, and you know, don't do that. You hear him. It's called conviction. You're saying, well, I've never heard the voice of God. How many of you ever felt conviction before? Well, then you've heard the voice of God.
Amen.
He's saying, don't do that. Don't watch that movie. Don't go in that bar. Don't talk to that person, because they're going to be gossiping into you. Come on now. Don't say that. What? Conviction is when the Holy Spirit, he before you sin, I want you to know this. This is how we know we don't have to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin, because the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us will convict us of sin before we do it. He'll say, don't do that. Listen, I'm trying to protect your relationship with the Father. I'm trying to protect who you are in me. I'm trying to protect your voice, your understanding. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Spirit of God's job is to keep us from sin, because sin will destroy us from the inside out. So he'll convict you. Come on, who's ever been convicted? Now, how many of you ever been convicted after you sinned? You sinned and then you went, you stupid. And you said to yourself, I knew, you stupid. Stupid idiot. You look at yourself and say, why? Why did you overrun the voice of the Holy Spirit? Why did you overrun the conviction? Because now you feel guilty. Anybody ever felt guilty before? And you know what's really interesting about people that feel conviction of the Holy Spirit? They do one of two things. They either run to God or run from God. Can I give you a little bit of information? Be smart. Don't run from him. Amen.
Amen.
Run to him. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, you can't hide it. He already knows you did it. So you might as well, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You might as well run to him and plead for mercy.
Amen.
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 God.
And repent.
Yeah, and repent. That's right. Turn from your sin. It's not like, God, I know you don't know I did this. Isn't that the worst, though? Come on. You know you did it, and he knows you did it. And so you come back like this. I know.
Messed up.
Stupid. I know. But some people, when they do that, they go.
Keep your head going.
Like, you don't know. Listen, it don't matter where you go. He's there. You might as well just do it right. I'm sorry. And repent. Make a decision you're not going to go back there. Don't override the conviction again. Conviction is your best friend. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If you've never said you've heard the voice, again, I'm going to say it one time. If you say you never heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you felt conviction before, you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he's doing that to protect your life. He wants you protected because he loves you so desperately. And he wants you to be in that right relationship with the Father. Now, if you've already asked conviction, if you've already asked forgiveness and you were sincere and there's repentance, how many here have ever sinned once? How many have ever sinned the same sin twice? How many of you here ever sinned the same sin three times? Y'all going to hell. It's all I know. No. How many here ever sinned the same sin 10 times? How many here ever sinned the same sin 526,322 times?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, man. That's a bit much.
I got issues.
We all got issues. When you've asked forgiveness, and this is very important for you to know, there is a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit will never condemn you. What's condemnation mean? Condemnation is feeling gross and nasty after you've already been forgiven. So if you've been forgiven, he says, I throw your sin as far as the east to the west and remember it no more. Which means every time you bring it up, he's going, what? Condemnation is when you've been forgiven and now you keep feeling guilty. Well, I'm not worthy to be in ministry. Well, I'm not worthy to have God use me. I'm not worthy to hear. That's condemnation. That's never from God. God does not condemn you. God convicts you. If you've already been forgiven, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So you're being condemned by your own head, and you need to tell your head to shut up. Amen.
Amen.
Bring every thought and, come on, bring every thought and, oh, there we go. Bring every thought and, see, I had to ask him because I lost that first thing. Did you see me looking? I was waiting for him to show me. Every thought and imagination into captivity that would raise itself up against God. Sometimes you condemn yourself. Sometimes other people condemn you. Don't you remember who you were? Come on now. Were you some religious thing now? I mean, you think you're something because, listen, I really know you. I really know who you are. Remember, we partied together. But listen, you're not that same person anymore.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not the same person. So they might have known you back then, but now they're trying to bring the condemnation of the past on you now. I'm sorry, that's not you. You just look at him and say, you don't even know me.
He's dead.
He's dead. He did. He did. I'm a new person, new creature in Christ Jesus. So condemnation will come from three directions. Yourself, other people, and sometimes the devil. He'll just whisper in your ear, you're a lowlife, man. God will never accept you. God will never use you. You're worthless. God, listen, I don't know how you think you can go to that church, man. The ceiling's going to cave in. Come on now. You know, what's that? What's that?
I tell him, shut up.
That's right. You let the devil know. He has no place in your head. He has no place whispering in your ear. You've already been forgiven. And if God's forgiven you, listen now, he doesn't remember it. Why should you?
Amen.
Why are you condemning yourself what God's already forgiven you for? Why are you holding yourself captive when God already set you free? For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
So conviction is good. Say, conviction is my friend.
Conviction is my friend.
And condemnation is my enemy.
Condemnation is my enemy.
Amen. Does anybody have any questions? I'm going to pick up the rest next week.
So, you got a mic, or this time just freehand?
I guess you're freeing.
All right, here we go. So, you say that we ought to wake up daily and pray in tongues. And then, so I feel like I'm an outsider here, because that's one gift that he doesn't share with me. So then you say we have all the gifts of the Spirit within us. I understand that. I have the Spirit within me, and he has everything. So therefore, I'm almighty, in a sense. It's pretty cool. So I get that, but yet, I don't pray in tongues. But yet, how do you relate that to he gives gifts to who he will?
Well, that's, remember,
I can't make his hand say
personal.
Oh man, give me.
Watch. Personal tongues is different from public tongues.
Correct. I have
personal. Well, no, you do.
I experience nothing.
Well, that's where you need to. The problem I find. Hold on. The problem I find with adults is that you psych yourself out. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is free.
Sure.
And God will give you the words in your heart, and the very first thing you'll say is that me as a God? Is it me as a God? Is it me as a God? Is it me as a God? Am I making that up? And he'll speak words to your spirit. And you just gotta step out in faith, usually the very first time, and just start speaking in other tongues. Because he's giving you words. Now, my roommate, he was two and a half years in Bible school.
He's giving me word. I believe he's giving me one word, and he's giving me the word. He's giving me the whole word.
No. I'm talking about that word. I'm talking about
no. I understand myself.
Then you hang on tight. You watch. That's a you and I will personally talk about that, or we'll wait till we get to that chapter. Because you, I'll tell you right now, you do not understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, and we want to make sure you understand, because that is a free gift to all those who God has called. That's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. And this gift is for you and for your children and for all those that are fall off.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that means I'm not saved. I don't have salvation. I didn't get saved at 13.
No. Okay. So
he baptized me.
All right.
Baptized with the fire. Am I not?
When you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. But he said very clearly that there is another gift for you, and that's found in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts, the disciples were born again in John chapter 20. He then told them, go tarry in Jerusalem till they receive the promise of the Father. They went, they tarried 10 days, and the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. That was not salvation. Their salvation happened in John chapter 20. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is another experience from God to give you a supernatural language so that you can pray in the Spirit and so that you can understand and move in the power of God in a new and a higher dimension. Doesn't make you less or better saved. It's just more tools in your toolbox to get God's work done in your life. So,
well, the right tools. So that means a lot.
Absolutely.
I just don't understand the tool yet, I guess.
You don't understand, and that's where I want to make sure you understand. And honestly, he's not the only one that doesn't understand. Who didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit before? Amen. Look at everybody here. And that's to make sure you understand. That's my job.
That's what you're here for. That's why.
That's right. We will teach you.
Bring it out.
So I think that's very important, is you know that even if you don't speak in other tongues, you are born again if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you. But there is another experience that will empower. It's called be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's another experience that will take you another depth in the things of God.
It's like we just went to Darien Lake and we rode all the rides and then we still get to go on the big one.
No, really. Literally, it is just like that. Damn, it is just like that. You still have, you haven't even gone on the big one yet.
Right. Go on the big rides.
Great. Anybody else? Yes.
So the Holy Spirit, okay, living in us, when we go to do something wrong, or anything that is opposite of what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, in Isaiah it says that our sin has separated us from God, so when we go to sin, how would we take the Holy Spirit with us if that separates us?
The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. He is a gentleman, and he is not going to leave you. Nobody knows the exact line of being backslidden. I just know that I don't want to get near that line. But when you are in a position where you are no longer in relationship with God, he will step aside. The Bible says he's married to the backslider, which means he's right there. But when you are backslidden, you are not going to heaven. Remember, we are not Calvinists. Calvinists believe when you said that prayer at 8 years old, doesn't matter how you lived, you're still going to heaven. That's a total different philosophy from the Word of God. God's word and will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the truth is that we have a responsibility in our walk with the Lord. That means obedience. If you make him Lord, you will obey because you love him and you'll produce fruit. And so that is the process. So when a person is living in sin, this is the scary part. I know people that are living in sin and actually believe they're going to heaven. Somebody once said to me, well, you know, I'm living with my boyfriend or girlfriend. I can't just break it off. Well, then you don't fear God enough. Because I'd rather break it off with them, and if they really love me, they'll do it right with me.
Amen.
Then go to hell because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Listen, do you want to hurt God's feelings and not make it to heaven? Or do you want to, come on now, do God's way and see God's hand on you? So, you know, I know a lot of folks that are living together. I know one guy and his girl were living together, and I confronted them, and I said, you know, I'm your pastor, I love you, and I want you to know that that's sin. And they said, you're right, pastor, and this is what we're going to do. Because of the money situation, there is no way we can go to a different apartment. So I'm living in the laundry room, and she's living in the bedroom, and I give you my word, we're not meeting in between. But we are getting married quick. What's that? But we are getting married quick. Better to marry than to burn. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Yes.
So a sin is a sin is a sin. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a difference between living in sin and being a sinner?
Absolutely. The question is there a difference between living in sin and being a sinner? Christians sin. Great. Christians are not sinners.
Because of the grace of God.
It is a different nature. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that those that are lost in their trespasses and sin are following after their father, and they have his nature, the nature of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the very beginning. So we know that the very nature of somebody that's not born again is sin, is normal to them. It is a lifestyle to them. As a Christian, you are no longer of that nature. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 that you now have the divine nature, the nature of God. So it is not normal that you sin. That's why the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there. It is not a normal process. You're not living a life of sin because old things are passed away, all things become new. Listen now, that's the change. Romans chapter 6, you are no longer a slave to sin. So if we sin as Christians, that's because we have chosen to sin. We overrode the Holy Spirit, and now we've got to repent. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But if you're living a lifestyle of sin, then the Holy Spirit is not dwelling inside of you because you're still living in the old nature. And that's the big deception in today's reality of Christianity. There are preachers that are standing up there and saying, listen, no matter what you've done, no matter how you live, God loves you and everybody's going to heaven. I'm sorry, that's a lie from hell. That's a deception that will destroy your life.
Same thing is when a pastor or somebody says that we're all sinners. If you're saved again, you're not a sinner.
Exactly.
But you're forgiven.
That's right. Yeah, I am not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a son of God. Come on, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Amen. That means I represent heaven on this earth. I'm from another place. Amen. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That means everything he has, I have.
Amen.
I'm not a sinner. I'm a son of God. Amen.
Amen.
I might be stupid in sin, but I'm a son of God. Stupid. Anybody got a question? All right. Praise the Lord. I love you. I want to remind you, the offering is here. Sunday is a big day. Sunday is a big day. This is our Christmas program. Now we have, this is a great time for you to fill your row. Everybody say, I got to fill my row. You got to fill your row. That means you got to start asking folk. The statistics are, if you ask 5 people, 3 of them will come to church. Some of you have said, well, I've tried that and it didn't work. Well, keep trying. It's time to fill your row. Amen. Fill your row. Now watch this. We're going to do an amazing production. Mackenzie Cohen and her team. Wow. We also have a petting zoo, and that's a good draw for your friends. Their kids want to participate with that. Wait to see what the kids are going to do. They're not singing this year. They're in the production. It's really stinking awesome. Yeah, you're cheating, you know. So, I mean, it's really cool. Parents, you don't want to miss what your kids are going to do. So, and grandma and grandpa. So that's a big key to get your loved ones here. If you have children, invite your loved ones and say, you want to see my kid in this play. So you need to fill your row, 9 or 11. We're expecting up to 1,500 people this coming Sunday morning. There are 1,300 people that call this their home that are here every single month. So I'm believing, God, that we're going to get them all here plus 200 guests. Amen? Will you believe God with me? And if everyone in this room will invite and fill your row, dear Lord, we're going to have 2,000 people here on a Sunday. We are actually talking for Easter, possibly renting the arena. So we're talking to them right now, instead of doing it here, doing it down at the arena for one service. That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? And getting it out to the community. So there are also Christmas Eve. We'll start at 7 o'clock for the service. If you want your kids to make cookies, that will start at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 for your kids to make cookies. And then at 7 o'clock is the service. We always have up to 500 plus people on New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. And then we have New Year's Eve. Don't want to forget that. That's the night I actually reveal the theme for the year. And we have an anointing service. We lay hands on every single person that night and release the power of God in your life for the new year. You don't want to miss any of these services. Where we are right now to the mid-January is like, it's just straight full throttle. Okay? Don't forget we have a week of fasting and prayer, and it's just going to be a great time.
This class resumes
on the next available Tuesday. January 8th. That's prayer and fasting. So you get 3 weeks off.
Oh, man.
It's not my fault. Blame the calendar.
Next week
is Christmas. The week after is New Year's. The week after is fasting and prayer. And then the week after is rock solid faith. And don't forget, we have Joyce Meyer's pastor coming in January, near the end of January. Joyce Meyer's pastor, Rick Shelton, will be with us. What's that? I can live stream from the man cave. You never know what will happen, so pay attention. I have done that before when we had bad weather.
Yes.
Okay, Father, bless the offering. Bless each one in this room. Lord, help us fill our row. Lord, let our friends, our family get born again, get saved, set free in Jesus' name. Use us. Holy Spirit, again, please, you live in us. Help us. We need to know you more. We want to know your voice. We want to know your leading. We want you to help us. We want you to comfort us. Spirit of God, please use our lives. We just need God to be glorified through us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.